It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
For most of the last 20 years, what has struck me most about the change of seasons on the farm at this time of year has been the sudden transition from cacophony to quiet. The principal cause of the transition was the departure of our turkeys early on Monday morning of Thanksgiving week to be processed and distributed to you all as the centerpiece of your annual feast. From about midsummer on, the turkeys always set the tone here. They were not as constantly noisy as, say, the guinea fowl, whose repetitive monotone rat-a-tat-tat vocalizing went on so insistently it could be annoying. But because the turkeys are much bigger birds and were far more numerous, their sound, a more joyous babble that rose and fell in something of a musical pattern, won out. They would assemble at intervals throughout the day, and particularly toward the end of the afternoon, in cocktail party-like jamborees, where the males would strut their stuff, preening and fanning out their tail feathers. Any sort of stimulus, like the start of a motor, might set off a chorus of gobbles. Our tried-and-true trigger for eliciting that chorus was to approach the flock and in a high register to trill the word, "Beautiful!" I miss having the turkeys here, even though not raising them this year may have turned out to be an overall economic benefit. With so many Thanksgiving feasts pared back to household members only to avoid transmitting COVID-19, I suspect I would have been left with a substantial surplus of the big birds, the most profitable ones that are always in the most demand, and would have only sold out of the small 6 to 8 pound hens that I usually have in surplus. Without the sudden absence of turkey calls to signal the change in season, the sign I've been most conscious of this year has been the loss of daylight. On good weather days, there may be brilliant sunshine at 3:30 p.m., but by 4, the sun is barely peeking over the Catskills. And if I look away from the golden glow on the western horizon, the sky turns from a blue to a bluish-gray hue, and that's my signal to start chores. I start with the chickens because I want there to be enough light coming through the windows into the henhouse that I can see the eggs I gather from the laying boxes. I move on to the pigs, who have no artificial light at their pens, and I finish up at the sheep, where if things are going slowly, I have the barn lights I can turn on to enable completion of the chores. With luck, though, I'm done with chores with a little natural light to spare and time to pick some winter greens for dinner before heading back to the henhouse to close the door. That's when the light is so dim the chickens have gone inside to roost of their own volition, and I don't have to work at chasing them in. I proceed at a methodical plodding pace. It's a peaceful time of day. About 20 minutes before complete darkness, the sky takes on a color that I, with my idiosyncratic color sense, would call slate purple. The moon, if risen, becomes highly visible. Friday evening, it was a small crescent suspended directly above like a teardrop pearl. Crepuscule, the French word that encompasses both twilight, when there's still some sunlight visible, and dusk, when the sun is gone, seems to be a name with just the right sound for this time of day. At dusk, the chickens stop clucking as they flutter up onto their roosts for the night. The sheep quietly munch their hay in the barn, and the pigs burrow into the bed of straw in their hut. It feels like the world is being zipped into a secure, dark envelope. The moment invokes, in my mind, the lyrics to the Jesse Colin Young song that was so popular my freshman year in college. Darkness, darkness, be my pillow. Take my head and let me sleep. And to come in from the cold, dusky outdoors to a brightly lit, warm kitchen, knowing the day's farm work is done, reinforces that sense of refuge. Chatting about the drop in daylight last week, my friend George and I concurred that it seems to get darker earlier in the day and more suddenly than either of us remembers from past years. This obviously cannot be true. Neither the Earth's rotation around the sun nor the angle on which it tilts has shifted dramatically, as happens every year. Last Thursday, the polar night arrived in, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Utqiagvik, Alaska. meaning the sun went down for the last time this year and will not rise again until January 23rd, for 66 consecutive days of darkness. It's all about the tilt of the earth. The next 2 months, the month before and after the winter solstice, will be our darkest stretch as well. So why did we perceive the darkness as so much more dominant this year? Maybe it's that it was as a result of the pandemic. It's the first time in many years that we're not spending most of our time in the city, where dusk doesn't have such a dramatic effect on one's activity. Perhaps it's also the result of the pandemic and the bungling that let it run unchecked, that we're facing what President-elect Biden has predicted on more than one occasion will be a very dark winter. Living in a region where the pandemic killed so many last spring, and where we thought we had more or less beaten it back, it is of course discouraging to see such a resurgence underway. It's even more depressing that the resurgence so enfeebles the responses we've traditionally relied on to fight the isolation and depression associated with the season, social gatherings and festivals celebrating light. In this context, the darkness doesn't seem such a cozy envelope keeping the world at bay. We're left to focus on the features that led us to rebel against the darkness in the first place. At such times, I take solace in a different song lyric, that it's always darkest just before the dawn.
Agriculture is underwritten by Tricana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.